This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Your roundtable coming up at 5:45 this afternoon. Biggest stories of the day. Obviously, we'll talk about the new normal that is the new deficit ballooning up to $343 billion. We'll chat with that. With Scott Reed, News Talk 1010 political analyst, also Andrea Barrett, who's the president of the Canadian Black Chamber of Commerce, all for PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. If you've lost your job for any reason whatsoever, including coronavirus, make sure you know your rights, know them for free, and know them quickly at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. It is Wednesday, it is 5:36, which means Toronto Mayor John Tory joins us. Hello, sir.
Hello, Jay and Rashmi. How are you both doing?
Very good, thank you.
Hello, hello. Good. Doing great, thanks. So lots to talk about today.
No kidding.
But let's talk about what the Premier was saying. The federal government needs to give municipalities some financial relief, the number 38%. Does that sit well with you, Mayor?
Well, look, to me, who does what is of less concern than the two of them getting together and deciding they're going to do something substantial for not just Toronto, it's for cities and towns across the country and across the province. And I did, in my own news conference today, commend Premier Ford because he has been showing leadership. He has been advocating on our behalf. And I've tried to, just express a sense of urgency on this because, it's like people listening. If they have a problem with their household budget because they lose income, you have to start cutting your expenditures as early as you can because the longer you leave it, the deeper the cuts are. So we're simply saying as municipalities, not just me, come to some agreement, you guys, because we need the money and we need your help and we need to be stable so that we can help in the recovery.
Is it inevitable, Mr. Mayor, that, inside of what we saw at the very, very beginning of the pandemic, that we would see municipal, provincial, and federal government officials essentially saying every day, it's wonderful that we're all banding together. It's not about party right now. It's about humanity. And then as we start to look at trying to claw out of it, That's when blood starts to boil a little bit more. People tend to get a little bit emotional because, it then becomes your job to do. It's fun to give out money, right? It's great to give out money. But when you have to pay it back, that's when it becomes tough.
I think, there are going to be some issues going forward as we sort of start to clean up things as opposed to just, stay in business. I mean, we were in a kind of a let's stay alive mode, yeah. In terms of business and people. And so that tends to produce, cooperation. I hope it can be continued. I think most of, your listeners know that my approach always is to collaborate with the other governments, both because it's necessary for us as the city, even the biggest city in Canada, to do so, and because I think it's what people expect of us. So you don't see me fighting very often. And in this case, I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody. I was very clear in saying that today. I'm just saying to them, please hurry up and get to a deal here because otherwise we have to start making cuts that people are really going to find very harmful in the context of, them trying to carry on and rebuild their own lives. I'm talking about people and small businesses because the services we provide, transit, childcare, a whole host of things, are services people really rely on in going about their daily business.
One of the things that people were looking forward to was Camp TO, and we found out today that 270 city employees refused to come back to work when it comes to Camp TO, due to concerns over safety regulations. Can you kind of walk us through what happened with that and where we are with it currently?
Well, as you know, under both our own collective agreements and under legislation, employees always have the right, if they don't believe that they're in a safe work circumstance, to not take part in that work. And in our case, the whole reason we canceled the summer camp program and then rebuilt it from the ground up was so that we could make it safe for the staff and for the kids. And that involved the whole reshaping of how the groups were put together and how they carried on their activities and so on. And so, look, I respect the fact that those people feel that they're not adequately protected in the context of their work. I can only say we would not operate a camp, first of all, that our medical people had not absolutely approved of in terms of how we did it. They helped us design all the guidelines, and that didn't just keep the kids safe, but also the staff. But I respect their right to be uncomfortable with that. It's just like people who will, not be satisfied about riding on transit because they won't think we've done enough to keep them healthy. And, there are lots of people who are coming to work and who understand the fact we've made these camps as safe as possibly could be the case. And there are 16,000 registrations for those camps, obviously made by parents who think that those camps are safe. So we've done our best. We will continue to do our best. We will talk to those workers and hopefully convince them to come to work. But, they have their rights and they're exercising them.
If you can't convince them to come to work, are they still being paid?
Well, that's an interesting question, because over the course of the entire pandemic, we have said to people who wouldn't be redeployed, you can go and collect federal benefits, but to those who would be redeployed, so we actually took people who might have worked in the accounting department and had them help out in long-term care homes, and those people got a top-up, so they got 75% of their normal salary, and their job was protected, where otherwise, if the accounting department was closed, they might have been laid off. So we'll have to see about that, and we're in discussions with the union, too, because these people are subject to a collective agreement, and we've had wonderful cooperation from our unions during the course of the pandemic. We have very good relationships with all of our unions, and I want to maintain that, so we'll talk to them. I hope we'll avoid any situation other than that the vast majority of them ultimately decide when the camps start, which is any day now, that they are safe to come to work, because that's really what I'd like to convince them.
So is it in the case of a collective bargaining agreement that an employee has certain rights, like the right that you mentioned, not to go to work, but at the same time, as part of that agreement, they can only refuse to go to work for so long before the municipality has the right to do certain things when it comes to payment?
In a nutshell, yes. And there's also a law, the Occupational Health and Safety Act, that says if you feel that you're being asked to work in unsafe conditions, you can refuse to work. And so there's all those different protections for workers, and people are within their rights perfectly to exercise those. And I'm going to focus on trying to make sure whatever we can address to make sure those employees are safe, which I believe they are, and feel safe so they can come and work at those camps.
You've voiced some concerns when it comes to Bill 164 regarding evictions. What are your main concerns?
Well, they've tried to sort of facilitate, having tenants and landlords, for example, reach an agreement on paying off the arrears in rent, and I think that's a good idea. But let's face facts here. The tenants are at a power imbalance with the landlords. A landlord could come and say, well, you better sign this or something, and most good landlords won't do that. And what had been provided for in this bill is that if that happened and then a tenant didn't honor the provisions of that agreement, even if it was lopsided, the tenant could still be evicted without a hearing. And I'm simply saying that those tenants should always, before they're evicted, be able to insist on a hearing, because when it comes to something as important and as dramatic as an eviction, especially in a city that's expensive and with a low vacancy rate, you should have a chance to have your day in court.
Mm-hmm. Are those concerns being heeded?
Well, it's hard to know. I'm one of many people commenting on this, and this was, in fact, what people were protesting outside my condo about the other night. It wasn't me. I actually, in terms of this view that I've just expressed to you, I'm on the same side as they are, and it was ironic that they were storming the building I live in the other night, because it's really a piece of provincial legislation, and I hope the province might think about that a second time and just say that people should have the right to a hearing almost no matter what, and I guess we'll have to see. I don't know at this moment whether they're going to make any changes or not.
We have about a minute left, and I quickly want to ask you about, we had another Scarborough Bluffs incident, and watching interviews with residents on CTV News at Noon, essentially saying, this really happens. It happens every single year. There's certain parts of the bluffs, the escarpment there, that are very well signed. There are other ones where you don't see it so much, but obviously we're frustrated. This is city resources that we lose every single time this happens. You must kind of throw your arms up in frustration sometimes saying, what more can I do to keep people from falling off the bluffs?
I do, and to answer the most frequently made suggestion, Jay, that people make to us, which is, why don't you send them a bill for the cost of sending the fire department, which often can be like thousands of dollars because you have to send several trucks and a whole bunch of people. The fire department are the ones that resist that because they say that might discourage people from calling 911 when they get in this trouble, and then you're going to have somebody die, and you're going to say, well, the reason they didn't call is because they were afraid of getting a bill. And so we just keep going and getting these people off the Scarborough Bluffs, and frankly, they're acting like goofballs. There's signs all over the place saying you're not supposed to do that. They've heard the stories, I'm sure, of how dangerous it is, and they just shouldn't do it. But again, I don't know what you can do about human behavior. That's a frustration of my job in many respects. Why do people speed? Why do people do distracted driving? Why do they do this? Why do they do that? I don't know. And we haven't come up with an answer to it. We fenced it off. We've signed it. We've told people not to do it, and I've told you why we don't fine them or send them a bill. And we just have to keep hoping people come to their senses.
You need a public service campaign. Help me help you.
Exactly. That's it.
Toronto Mayor John Tory, always a pleasure. Thank
great
you, sir.
Thank you both. Okay, bye-bye now.
Have Appreciate a great day.
It. This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.